That bell is ringing, so it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we've been studying that Old Testament story about David and Saul, about how David spared Saul. David and one of his men, Abishai, crept into Saul's camp one night, and Saul lay there sleeping, and the man that was to be guarding him, Abner, he was sleeping as well. And they had an opportunity to slay Saul at that time, but David said no. And we'll be bringing that Sunday school lesson to a conclusion here in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at an old Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools as of August the 7th, 1927. Let me read this to you from the text. This is 1 Samuel chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 13, 14, 17, and 21, and then we'll look at Elam's notes. 1 Samuel 26:13. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the mountain afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and said to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? And Saul knew David's voice, and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, O Lord, O king. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my life was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and erred exceedingly. Here are Elam's notes. After David and Abishai returned, David called to the soldiers and to Abner, calling Abner, in strongest irony, a valiant man, because he'd allow Saul's spear and curse of water to be taken away, saying he was worthy of death because he had not guarded the king. Saul recognized David's voice. David expressed himself as ready to submit to God's judgment, if it be Jehovah that stirred Saul up against him. But if men stirred Saul up against him, then the curse of God would rest upon them. If he had committed any sin worthy of death, he was ready to die in the presence of Jehovah. But Saul, pursuing him, was pursuing one as helpless as a flea or a partridge in the mountains, 1 Samuel 24:14. Saul again acknowledged himself a fool and confessed his sin against David as he had done several times before. Under the impulse of the moment, Saul was doubtless sincere and really thought that he would never again seek to harm David. He was forced to see, as he expressed it, that his life was precious in David's eyes. He was compelled to see that David did not seek him harm. David knew Saul too well to accept this invitation and return home. David then requested Saul to send one of his young men to come and get his spear. David again expressed himself as willing for God to settle this matter. He expected God's blessings, inasmuch as he was conscious of doing God's anointed no harm and was innocent of any sin in this particular. A righteous man is willing to leave his cause with God. David said, as Saul's life was precious in his sight, as had been in the time and again demonstrated, so his own life would be precious in God's eyes. and asked that God would deliver him out of all the tribulation which he was then suffering from Saul. He did not request Saul to spare his life or to cease pursuing him. He left all with God. Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do mighty and shalt prevail." If Saul was not sincere in thus blessing David, he no doubt realized that David would do great things and prevail. Saul was like many people today who, for a moment, under good influences, think they will change their lives and realize that they should, but the good impulse gone, they're back at their sins as usual. This is not repentance. David could not risk Saul, so he went his way, and Saul returned to his place. That Saul returned to his place goes to show that he was sincere for the moment in what he said to David. After this, David went among the Philistines, where he remained a year and 4 months. 1 Samuel 27. Well, that brings that Sunday school lesson to a close, but at the end, there is this poem by Mary Alitha Woodward called Hereafter. It's taken or inspired by John 13 in verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." We do not know how blessings flow from tears that follow laughter, how joy within her hand conceals the stab that sorrow dumbly feels. We do not know how blessings flow, but we shall know hereafter. We do not know how good will grow with evil the engrafter, how hidden in the briars of care the blossomed soul scents all of the air. We do not know how good will grow, but we shall know hereafter. We do not know how wind will blow with love himself the wafter, how from the clouds of pain they bring fall showers that feed joy's deathless spring. We do not know how winds will blow, but we shall know hereafter. We do not know what death will show, or life that comes thereafter, how all that we have hoped or willed by wondrous power will be fulfilled. We do not know what death will show, but we shall know hereafter. Mary Alitha Woodward. Well, on the opening page to that is our next Sunday school lesson. It was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of August the 14th, 1927. It's about David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. The text is 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. I'll read those to you now. 2 Samuel 2, 3 and 4. And his men that were with him did David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "The men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul." 2 Samuel 5, 1-3. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David and to Hebron, and spake, saying, "Behold, we are thy flesh and thy bone. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was thou that leadest us out and brought in Israel. And Jehovah said unto thee, Thou shalt be shepherd of my people Israel, and thou shalt be prince over Israel." So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them in Hebron before Jehovah that they anointed David king over Israel. And now 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. And it was told David, saying, "Jehovah hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with joy. And it was so that when they bare the ark of Jehovah, when they that had borne the ark of Jehovah had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David danced before Jehovah with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Jehovah with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is the 65th Psalm and verse 4. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. The devotional reading is from the New Testament. It is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. But of the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou continuest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a mantle shalt thou roll them up as a garment, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years fail not. Now in these readings, we read about Hebron, and the geographical note in this Sunday school lesson addresses Hebron. It says Hebron was south of Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and Beersheba, about 20 miles from each. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, Numbers 13:22. It is one of the oldest cities in the world now in existence. In this respect, it is a rival of Damascus. Its original name was Kiriath Arba, the city of Arba, the father of Anak. Abraham dwelt there and erected an altar to God. Isaac also dwelt there, and there was the family dwelling place. The country around Hebron was the richest in the land of Judah. Near this city, the spies cut the famous cluster of grapes, which gave the name Eshcol to the valley. It was about the center of the land of Judah, and it was its capital. Kirjath-Jearim means city of the woods, and was about 11 miles northwest from Jerusalem. Now here's some helps and hints for the teacher. Show how the news of Saul's death affected David, 1 Samuel 31. Having been made king over all Israel, David captured Jerusalem and called it the city of David, and made it the seat of his government. David increased his number of wives and concubines at Jerusalem. To best understand how Saul and Jonathan's death affected David, I think we ought to read from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 17, where it says, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son, and he bade them teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, thy glory, O Israel, is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistine rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, neither fields nor offerings. For there the shield of the mighty was vilely cast away, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles and stronger than lions.